You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the Nisga Nation is going all in with its Xylisms LNG project, announcing last week, along with Texas-based partner Western LNG, that they will be purchasing the Prince Rupert Gas Transmission Pipeline from TC Energy to feed their proposed LNG facility. The PRGT received its EA permits a decade ago and is still active. However, it's due to expire in November. But if the current permit is granted a second extension, something the provincial NDP government has not committed to do so far, the pipeline could land in the hands of the Nisga Nation. The pipeline was originally approved for Petronas' defunct Pacific Northwest LNG project, but it could still come to fruition as the Nisga Nation moves forward with their plans for a floating LNG facility on Pierce Island near the Nass River and the community of Gingolk. However, this indigenous-led megaproject is not without opposition. Gary Reese, mayor of Lac aux Lambs, a Tsimshian nation on the north coast, and his council have been very vocal about their opposition to this project on account of the lack of consultation. As well, the Gitignau, an upriver nation whose territory encompasses parts of the Upper Nass and Kitwanga watersheds, are concerned and disappointed over the inadequate consultation and the rigid environmental review process. Although CICK News reached out to the Nisga Nation for comment about the move to acquire the PRGT and the growing concerns with the review process, they did not respond before this broadcast. However, in a statement about purchasing the PRGT from TC Energy, Nisga Nation President Eva Clayton said, quote, "In taking an equal ownership role in this pipeline, we are signaling a new era for Indigenous participation in the Canadian economy." Today, we'll speak with the mayor of Lac aux Lambs, Gary Reese, about his nation's concerns over the project. And we'll hear from Tara Marsden, WILP Sustainability Director for the Gitignau Hereditary Chiefs, about why the Gitignau are calling out the provincial government over what they see as a disregard for a thorough environmental review process. Stay with us.
My name is Gary Reese, and I'm the elected mayor of Lac aux Lambs.
Great, Gary. Thanks so much for being with us on CICK News. Gary, as I mentioned earlier, you and members of the Lac aux Lambs Council have been vocal about some concerns around the proposed Xylisms LNG project up in the Nass territory, driven by the Nisga Nation. Tell me about some of your concerns with this project as it is right now.
Well, it's in our territory. That's our concerns, and we don't agree with that project. In our territory.
Where exactly, if you could just kind of describe where your territory is there at Lac aux Lambs and some of the other areas where this floating LNG plant is proposed?
It's all around up in, right by Pierce Island, goes right up to there, and in the Silver Gulf. It's all in our territory.
And was there any consultation done with Lac aux Lambs, either from the provincial government or from the Nisga Nation? Because it seems like it's going through the environmental assessment process right now, and I know there's a lot of questions that people are asking about this.
Yeah, we have our own people in, that work for us in our department, lands department, that you know have been asking for a lot of information on. On that area and environmental studies and stuff.
And can you describe or tell me a little bit about the particulars of what in particular is Lac aux Lambs concerned about or opposed with this project in particular?
It's in our territory, and we've never agreed to any projects being built in our territory without meeting with us and dealing with us on it.
What would be some of the requirements if they were to come to you with some consultation and some idea of what this might mean for Lac aux Lambs?
Well, we tried to get that and we couldn't get it.
Do you know why that is?
I have no idea.
This isn't the first time that you and Lacqua Lambs have dealt with an LNG project near or on your territory, within your territory. Pacific Northwest LNG at one point was proposed near the territory as well, and Lacqua Lambs has offered over $1 billion in compensation from the company. You know, how does this kind of situation match up with something like that? Are you and others in Lacqua Lambs opposed completely to this type of development?
No, we never said we were. In that first time around was on Lulu Island. There was it the wrong place to pick to build in facility because of the flora bank there.
I guess at the moment, you know, as I mentioned, this is a project that's going through the environmental assessment. And we just heard recently that the Nisga are trying to purchase or acquire with their partner, their LNG partners, the Prince Rupert Gas Transmission Pipeline. That pipeline was originally meant for the Petronas project, Pacific Northwest LNG. You know, how do you feel about all of this? Just kind of, it seems like a little bit questionable when these projects are happening, then they don't, but these pipelines and these permits are still active, and now you have have another project you need to engage with. You know, what would you like to see in these sort of situations, and what would you know, what would kind of suffice for yourself and for Lacqua Lambs if something like this were to go forward?
Well, in the first place there, we should have been dealt with right up front there when it comes to our territory, and that didn't happen.
I guess what comes next? I know this is ongoing and obviously very active, but what are you hoping to engage with or see down the line?
Well, we're going to be dealing with that, and I won't say right now what will be happening, but when it comes to it, we'll take it from there.
Okay, Mayor Reese, I'll leave it there for now, but thanks for taking my questions.
No, you're welcome.
That was the mayor of Lacqua Lambs, Gary Reese. Coming up next, my conversation with Tara Marsden, WILP Sustainability Director for the Gitignau Hereditary Chiefs.
Tara Marsden, my Gitxian name is Nachkink, and I live in Hazleton, and I am the WILP Sustainability Director for Gitignau Chiefs and a private consultant as well.
Great, Tara. Thanks so much for being with us here on CACK News. Of course, we saw a release last week that relates to the Tsilism's LNG proposal up in the Nisga territory. The Gitignau putting it to the provincial government that the proper consultation hasn't been done as the review is going on. So maybe tell me a little bit about what some of the Gitignau chiefs' concerns are with this current project, but not just the project, but the way that it's being reviewed here in BC.
Yeah, so we just learned about it only through the media. And so they have determined the nations that they feel are affected, and they are claiming that Gitignau will not be affected in it. We are not owed any type of duty of consultation. And so that in and of itself is, you know, clearly not without precedent. We have precedent like the Lulu Island LNG terminal, where multiple nations who had upstream impacts were involved and consulted and effectively got that project canceled. We also have precedent of being included in the consultation for the KSM mine and the downstream impacts in the Nass River. So, you know, there are a lot of impacts to salmon that migrate through many different territories. And for this project, the province really wants to ignore any nation who is not completely supporting LNG, in specifically the Tsilism's LNG terminal. And so they've ignored our concerns. They're similarly ignoring the Gitxian Watershed Authority concerns with the impacts to salmon there. And as far as we know, the Lacqua Lambs as well.
Yeah. Yeah, as you mentioned, Lacqua Lambs also concerned about this project. We spoke with Gary Reese earlier, and he mentioned their biggest issue is that it's near on their territory, and there's been no consultation with Lacqua Lambs. Looking through the documents that have been submitted to the BC EAO, so the BC Environmental Assessment, you know, Metlakatla, Kitsum Kalem, Kitsilis, Gitgat First Nations, all of these nations are on the list of nations participating in this EA, but the Gitignau or any other Gitxian nations are not mentioned here, and that the pipeline is going to go through some of that area. Clearly, there's going to be some sort of impact. You know, how do we kind of get through this? And what is your message to the BC government that this is not the first time this has kind of happened? And also, these documents, the proposal was submitted back in October. So it seems like quite a few months since this has actually been on the table. And you mentioned only now that Gitanyahu are being or being contacted by the EAO. So where do you stand with this? How do you proceed?
Yeah, so I mean, this is unfortunately kind of standard protocol. At least it was under the previous government, the Liberal government, who was very much, you know, out front about being in support of LNG at any cost. And we all thought that we were going to get a different government with the NDP. Unfortunately, we're seeing some changes now, and we're seeing a sort of a return to the status quo of how they pick and choose whose consent they listen to and whose consent is not important to them. And so, you know, as we've learned with many other major projects in our region, the only way to have our voices heard is usually through the courts. And so that is always an option that's available to us.
One of the other things that we know, this project was recently submitted. It's been in the works for a few years, but there's also a pipeline there that has been on the books for 10 years. It seems like these things kind of just hang around. As you mentioned earlier, what do you think that the provincial government needs to do to actually move forward with meaningful consultation to make sure that situations like this don't keep happening?
So one of the things we've approached the province on is a duty to consult us on the substantial start determination policy, which sounds kind of boring, but is actually pretty important in terms of environmental assessments. And so what they do is they'll invest a certain amount of money and do a certain amount of work. And essentially, their environmental certificate is good for life. It can't be revoked. They don't need amendments to it unless there's major changes to the project. But we've seen so much change in the last 10 years. So PRGT has this 10-year-old certificate. It's about to expire this November. And we've seen, you know, our first several years of drought and wildfire. We've seen the operation of the Community Industry Resource Group in the Wet'suwet'en Yinta, the militarized invasion of their territories. And it's like, you know, things have changed. And the company, unfortunately, and the government want to act like things are still the same and that we haven't learned all this new information about climate. The Chinook for the NAS, the NAS Chinook run are a threatened species, and they would like to ignore that as well. And so it's really kind of time for a reality check, but we're having a really hard time breaking through.
One of the pieces that was mentioned in the release was that clearly this project is going to emit a lot of GHG emissions, tons of carbon into the environment. Although it's much smaller than the current one that's being built in Kitimat, we are going to see, you know, obviously some of these come online and they have huge footprints. And you're pointing out in the release that this is not acceptable, that there needs to be more done to offset these issues, or like you mentioned, kind of get a reality check of where we're at. You know, how do we go forward in knowing that these are highly carbon intensive, but as Gitanyahu have done, you guys seem to have a bit of a balance, and there are companies in other respects, forestry and whatnot, that are complying with land use plans, with your land use plan that is over a decade old. You know, where do we move forward to get past some of these, you know, old ideas to something that's a little bit more attuned to the 21st century and taking into consideration, as you mentioned, these climate change issues?
Yeah, so we developed what's called a climate test as a part of our WILP sustainability assessment process. We've run that for Xelizens. We're going to share those results very soon. We did a preliminary review, which we included in our letters to Xelizens and to the EAO. We pointed out that all of the net zero claims are based on electrification. The source of that electricity is completely unknown and undetermined. The footprint of, you know, creating new power lines from Prince George to Terrace and then Terrace to Xelizens. All of that's additional footprint. All of that has its own GHG emissions, you know, cutting down, clearing forests and putting in electricity. And then the question of where do you get that power when we have Site C Dam being fully prescribed in terms of its use. So potential new power development in drought conditions. doesn't seem to make sense. And certainly it's like if they don't get that electricity, then all of their net zero claims are really kind of out the window. They also plan to offset their carbon emissions. And again, no details on where they would get those offsets, what the nature of those are. And so it's really just an evidence-based approach that people are not taking right now. It's more of a rhetoric-based approach that we're hearing. And so we'll share our results. We'll share about a 60, 70-page report with the public so they can see sort of the analysis that's involved and not just taking people at their word when they say that they're going to be net zero or when they say that they're Indigenous-led.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on that last piece there. You know, this is the second Indigenous-led LNG project in the region that we've seen in most recent years. There are two that the Haisler are trying to produce as well. Same sort of idea on a floating platform. But you mentioned in the release you're going to continue to fight for environmental justice, Indigenous rights, and a sustainable future. What does that look like in this context, knowing that it seems in terms of the economic reconciliation that these projects are sometimes labeled as, are pushing some Indigenous nations into a corner, and this seems like their only way out?
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of our province, or what people know as BC, is that we have a large diversity of First Nations, and so some are going to be much more geared towards economic reconciliation. They're clearly on board with certain industries, whereas other nations have a very different approach to risk tolerance, especially when it comes to salmon, when it comes to our forests and climate change. And so, you know, when you look at consent, it's not just, again, the consent of those who are in favor of a specific industry. It's the consent of all people who are affected that has to be the principle. And this government has committed to that. They committed to uphold the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, which includes free, prior, informed consent. They're clearly not doing that in 2024.
All right, Tara, we'll leave it there for now, but thanks so much for taking our questions, and I'm sure we'll be in touch on this story as it develops.
Thanks so much, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.